Good evening, and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm John Milford, Chair of the Club's Grown-Ups Forum, and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience, and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Barbara Rose Brooker. "It is exciting," Brooker says. "Age is only a number. We're all boomer hotties." Brooker currently writes a column, Suddenly 70, for the San Francisco Jay Weekly and for the Huffington Post. She also performs a solo performance called Two to Tango, about a woman after 60 looking for love. Brooker has an MA in creative writing. She's published fiction with Morrow, Crossing, and other presses. Simon Schuster is publishing The Viagra Diaries and her next two novels. She regularly teaches writing seminars at San Francisco State University, OLLI program for men and women over 50, and at private seminars. She will also bring her solo show, Two to Tango, to New York. Brooker is also the founder of the first ever Age March in history. The Age March is growing and becoming a national movement with two more cities in California, Los Angeles and San Francisco, New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. to come. See www.agemarch.com for details. Brooker says the march is to celebrate your real age and to end age discrimination. Aging well isn't about Botox. It's a time to go forward, not backward, to make old dreams come true, to reinvent yourself, to write that book, make that movie, and find true love with great sex. Brooker has been on The Talk with Sharon Osbourne, The Today Show, Entertainment Tonight, and other national shows and newspapers. So please join me in welcoming our speaker tonight, Barbara Rose Brooker.
Thank you, John, for that lovely welcome and the music. Can you hear me? Anyway, I love you all for schlepping out tonight to hear me and my message. And let me just say, I'm 76 and I want to be a movie star. And I really do. I really do. And I'm not just saying it for a soundbite. And for the past 30 years, I've had this dream, this recurrent dream, where I'm dancing the tango with this tall gentleman. And I'm not stepping on his feet like I usually do, you know, and I'm in love. I mean, we are in love. And then I wake up. And I wake up to age rage. I mean, I call it age rage because I'm in this generation, which I think is the boomer generation, and I call it an ageless generation. There is no age now. In fact, I don't think the 75 is, people say to me, 75 is the new 55. It isn't. 75 is the new 75. You know, 60 is the new 60. What's this business of having to go back? I say, go forward. And I can't stand this thing with the age, especially when I'm called sweetie. Oh, I cringe. So this age rage really drives me crazy. And I'm serious. We all are boomer hotties. It's a phrase I use. Actually, the name of my column now is Boomer in the City. And it is, and I use the term boomer because, you know, it can go from, I don't know. We have experts here. Eileen Williams is an expert. We can talk later. Goes from 55 to 105, I say. I mean, we're all boomer hotties. And I feel so strongly about this. And I actually resent when someone says, well, how old are you? Like when I was on the Today Show, Kathy Lee, who's a lovely woman, by the way, said to me, don't tell your age. don't say your age because it won't sell books. You don't really need to do that. And of course, the first thing I said is, well, I was 73 when I was on the show, but I said, I'm 73, you know. And she said to me afterwards, didn't your tongue just click and twist when you said that? I mean, there's such a fear of age in our country. And when I said I want to be a movie star, I would get like, well, you know, maybe you should go on a singles cruise to Alaska. Or, no, I'm serious. Or, well, get a life. I get a lot of that. You need to get a life. Hello, this is my life. I love my life. Who's to say your life is for everybody? You know, we all have so many choices. And this is what I feel most passionate about. And tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself first, my favorite subject. A little bit about myself and my journey in staying with my dream on my path. It's been a struggle, but what's amazing, as soon as I hit 70, things started to happen. So now I'm thinking, oh my God, oh please let me be on the planet when the HBO filming starts and this and that, because time seems to be more precious somehow, but nothing else changes. So I'm going to say when I was 30, I was supposed to be married and live forever with one man. That's wonderful if you have it, but it's not always the only way. I didn't really like it that much. But anyway, so I'm divorced, but I had dreamed of doing what I'm doing today. I can't believe that I'm here talking to you and that all of this is happening, and I feel like I'm just beginning. So that was 30, and I decided to divorce the mother of two teenage daughters. No, well, they weren't teenagers then. I don't remember. I was a single mother really struggling, and I went back to college. And, oh, my God, I was called a re-entry woman then. You know, we had to wear name tags that said re-entry. Oh, my God, it was unbelievable. And then I transferred over to San Francisco State University, and it took me a lot of years because I would work part-time at the Bank of America, or I would do this or that. But all during this time, I was dreaming of writing a novel. My journals were filled. I was just dreaming about writing a novel. And so when I was 40 and I was at San Francisco State University majoring in English literature and creative writing, one of my professors said, well, you know, you're kind of old for this business. You know, 40 is kind of old. It's a tough business. And why don't you major in I forget what he said, so forth and so on. Counseling, I think he said. Wonderful field, but it wasn't what I wanted. So anyway, to make a long, long, long story short, when I was 49 and I got my MFA in creative writing, I was so excited. And one of my professors, I had written a novel called The Rise and Fall of a Jewish American Princess. One of my professors said, I love this novel, because I had to submit it for the master's degree. He said, I love this. You should get this published. I'm going to give you the name of an agent. So he gave me the name of Fred Hill, who was a very famous agent. He died a couple years ago, and Fred loved the book, and he sold the book. And I was like, oh, my God, is this happening? I was so excited until I got this horrible editor who wanted everything changed. Everything changed. And I, being so green and thinking, well, who am I? And after all, you know, I got a $10,000 advance and everything. I changed everything. Motto is never sell yourself, never change your voice, ever. And they canned the novel. Because it lost all it's still on, the original's on my shelf right now. I was devastated. And everybody said, oh, give it up, give it up. You know, give it up. You can't do it. Blah, blah, blah. And hello. And so I just thought, well, I'm going to write another novel. And I'm going to call this one So Long, Princess. So I sat down for 2 years, and the first line is, anyway, my name is Lisa Perlman, you won't believe what happened to me. And I told the story of what had happened, and Fred Hill sold that to William Morrow. And that was my, by then, okay, I'm 50 by now, right? And I thought, oh my God, the novel's just gonna be a bestseller. You know, I had an option with Barbara Streisand, and all this stuff is going. Of course, nothing happened, and I learned disappointment in the industry. Mm-hmm. Disappointment. And I thought, but I'm not going to give up. This is what I do. This is what I do. And the novel kind of fizzled out. You know what I mean? So I wrote another novel. And then I wrote another novel. And then I wrote something about the AIDS Holocaust, in which is my favorite book. And that kind of, you know, is out there floating around. And to make a long story short, I kept writing books. And let's skip now to 60. I turned 60. There was a birthday party, and I was told things like, well, good for you, you really tried, and now it's time to get a life, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I wrote a column called Suddenly 60. And I remember it was for the San Francisco Marina Times, but they paid me, and I thought, oh my God, this is my first paid column. And then I did another column for the, it was then called the San Francisco Independent, and I just kept writing and publishing poetry and just doing my thing. But life was hard because of the ageism, the blanket of ageism, you know, trying to market myself and get out there, and 50, 60, you know, there was this smell of ageism, and I hated it. To me, it's as bad a disease as saying gay, straight, whatever. The label of ageism is a disease in our country. And I really was angry about this. So then, okay, I'll skip to 65. I hit 65, and I thought, oh my God, okay, I have Medicare now, you know, you know, a little arthritis, I've had cataract surgery, blah, blah, blah. I am going to write a novel about a woman who is 70. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to call her Annie Applebaum. And I'm going to call the novel The Viagra Diaries. So it took me about 2.5 years to put the material together because I needed to get material. So how was I going to get all the men that were going to go in this book? So I went online, I went on JDate.com and Match.com and all of them, and I did this ad thing, you know, San Francisco author wants material, and be brave, boomer hottie, you know, so forth. And I met all these men, and they would kind of shuffle into Starbucks where I would meet them. And, you know, they would show me pictures of their dead wives and in bikinis taken 40 years ago, you know. Yeah. And they all wanted to go to Viagra Falls, you know, and so forth and so on. But then I met one man. He was a diamond dealer. I'm not going to tell you anymore because my novel, The Viagra Diaries, when it comes out in April 30th with Simon Schuster, the story's in there. But anyway, so I thought I was seeing him. And I knew he was a louse from the beginning, but I was very attracted. But I would run home and write up the scenes. And those scenes became, in The Viagra Diaries, he became Marv Rothstein. That was his name. So, okay, to make a longer story short, it's time for the book. And I don't have an agent now. Fred Hill died. And every agent I would contact would say, oh, well, you know, it's been a long time and this and that and the other thing. And nobody's going to read about a 70-year-old protagonist. They're simply not going to read it. Maybe if you make her 50, we might consider. And all this was going on. I was so depressed. And I have a daughter who was ahead of a reality TV at the William Morris. And she tried to, you know, promote it. And they told her the same thing. Nobody's going to. I'd get these snotty producers on the phone and say, the networks don't want over 50. We're lucky if we do 50. This isn't a go. You know, real nasty. It was horrible. So I self-published the book because I didn't know what was going to happen, and I thought, at least I want to get it out there. Oh, I'm so for self-publishing. Oh, I self-published the book. Little did I know it sold 10,000 copies on its first run, which was incredible. But during this time, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer, and I thought, oh, my God. Oh, please. Please don't take me now, Lord. You know, I think I'm on the brink of something. And so I went through all of that, and I think I gave my first performance here in the big room at the Commonwealth Club, 2 to Tango, and 200 people showed up, and they televised it because it was all, I play the part of Annie Applebaum. Okay. Meanwhile, HBO did buy the book. I mean, they didn't just option it, they bought it, where I got checks and everything. They hired Darren Star, who wrote Sex and the City, to write the script. And they hired Goldie Hawn to play Annie Applebaum. So can you imagine how thrilled I was? Well, this is 2.5 years later. They fired Goldie Hawn last year. Mm-hmm. I could tell you all kinds of stuff. That could take a whole nother time. Do I have the gossip? So they fired Goldie Hawn, and now they're looking for the Annie they want. Meanwhile, they sent me the script. It's awful. But anyway, who am I to say? So I thought, okay. Then Simon Schuster bought the rights to the Viagra Diaries. Only guess what? Was it smooth sailing? No. Nice check? Yes. However, the editor said, we want you to rewrite this whole book. I had spent 2.5 years on the other one. It wasn't perfect, but 10,000 people loved it. And I thought, oh, my God. And I thought, well, I have to do it. My agent said, you have to do it. This is a really big opportunity. And I knew it could be a better book, so I didn't really. And I did like the editor a lot. I mean, she's real smart. And so for 6 months, I sat there rewriting this whole version, as we call it, the new version, which is quite different from the other one. The characters are the same. And that's coming out April 30th. And I'm very excited. 14 foreign countries bought it. It's going to be translated in French, Turkey, you know. Yeah, I love all that part of it. So I don't know what's going to happen. But then I decided I want to perform. So I went to the Marsh Theater, and I made a complete fool out of myself. You know, I auditioned, and they said, sit in the back, you know, sweetie, and all that sort of thing. Yeah, and I made a fool out of myself. I stood there on the stage by myself. And I worked there about 6 months on how to get into my character and all of that. And then a couple months ago, I got a call from Rick Shaw Comedy Productions. He wrote The Nanny and all these big sitcoms. He saw my tape and he loved it, and he wants me to audition for him in L.A., which I'm going to do next week, and play in his theater. And he said, if it goes well, then he's taking it to his theater in New York. So the reason I'm saying it is not to brag, is to say, add dimensions to your career. Take your, or whatever you choose to do, whether it's a new garden or what. There's not one way to live. And just keep going, because this will fight ageism all the way. And So then came the dating thing again. Okay, because I said, I want to be a movie star. I want fame, fortune, and love. Now, do I want marriage and all that? Not particularly. That's not for me. But love? Who doesn't want love? Romantic love. So I'll give you an example of a couple of the dates. But I'm not giving up. That, I mean, oh, my God. Yes, please, Lord. That's why I had Laura's music here tonight, because her music is so romantic and so beautiful, I think. Hello? First I went out with the widower. And he says to me on the phone, hi. I said, how will I know you? He named a place to me. I said, how will I know you? And he said, just look for Clint. I said, Clint? He said, can't you hear? Clint Eastwood. Oh, Clint Eastwood. So we agreed to meet at this place, at this bar, and I walk in, and this tall, thin guy with silver hair, puffed up, and a body like Gumby, you know. He introduces himself. I went, hi, Clint. And he said, I thought you'd be younger. Yeah. And then we sit down, and I have my martini, and he's drinking to beat the band. I'm thinking, oh, my God. And he's telling me, he says, you know, I'm a widow. I was married 52 years. I put in my dues. And he says, now I want a woman. He says, say, do you rent or do you own? And I said, is this an audition? And he says, I want a woman this time with a trust fund and a doorman. And he said, someone to look like Pamela Anderson. And then I said, how did your wife die? And he tells me how she tripped and fell and died, poor thing. And I said, well, when did she die? And he said, 2 days ago. Not for me. Okay, next one. The next one was the boomer, I call him the boomer foodie, you know, the clean freak, the boomer foodie. I met him at a book signing. And I recognized him as a food critic, and he had a book out. And we're talking, and he seemed very nice. And he's talking about his new book, The Pea, and P-E-A. So he says, do you want to go to dinner? I'm going to take you to a 5-star restaurant that's just fabulous. And so we go, we get in the car, and we go to this restaurant that was so serious. Oh, my God. And it had, you know, like one pea on a big plate and one mussel, and the waiters didn't smile, and they were speaking in half French, and it had gray walls, and it was drab, and no prices on the menu, you know, few sprinkled flowers on top of a mussel. I hate those places. I hate those places. So anyway, he just talked all night how his wife, poor thing, who was a fabulous, fabulous chef and a clean freak, he said she was so clean. He kept using the word clean, and I kept going, you know, clean. She was so clean. And I said, and he said, she died from botulism, from a tainted pea. And that's why I wrote the pea. And then when his car going home, he kept spraying things all the time for the bugs. And then when I touched the outside of his shiny Jaguar, he was, oh, my God, thumbprints on the Jaguar. And he was taking pictures of it with his phone and the tears running down his eyes. Okay, so this is where I get my material for my Boomer in the City column. And the third one, which my latest column is based on, and it's right now, it's running, it's called Does God Wear Gucci? And I met the guy with the labels. You know, he's real. He was dressed from head to toe in Gucci and Armani and whatever. His teeth were so white they glowed in the dark, you know. And he's looking at me during dinner, and he said, who are you wearing? And I said, it's me. He says, I don't mean you that. Who's the designer? And I said, H&M. He looked at his watch, and he suddenly had to go. You know, so those are my things with dates. But the message that I'm trying to give you tonight, and I hope that I'm getting across, I so hope I'm getting across, is take all of your dreams out from under your pantyhose or your new dreams, you know, and take a chance and go, no matter what it is. You know, write that book or grow that garden or whatever. Just go, because there is no end. There are only beginnings. And I really believe that. And I also want to say that I've had the privilege of teaching at SFSU Ollie, and I've met real talent, and there is no age. And first I want to introduce Kathy Fiorella, whose new book that she worked on for 2 years, Al Capone Has a Lovely Mother, was just published. Kathy, where are you? Hold up the book. There she is. And Kathy, we didn't think about age there. It's a wonderful book, and everyone should read it. And we also have Dr. Francine Toter here tonight, who also has a new book out that I just finished and I think is very important, called The Vintage Years. Do you have it? Hold it up. Okay, I was going to... The Vintage Years. I mean, these are women over 50. You know what I mean? And this is so wonderful. And then we have Eileen Williams here, whose book is fabulous. I don't want to get the title wrong.
I'm over 50. What can I say? It's called Land the Job You Love, 10 Surefire Strategies for Job Seekers Over 50.
And Eileen has a very successful radio show, which I've been on, and she's moving ahead with radio and TV and all kinds of things. And you're over 50, too.
Yeah, barely.
I mean, I don't want to miss anyone. And Peggy, with her wonderful book, what's the title, Peggy? Yeah. I mean, there's incredible projects going on now and wonderful opportunities, particularly with self-publishing, which, okay, I'm with a mainstream house, but it's going to be how my e-books are going to do that's really going to count, you know? And I just believe in all of you so much, and I just want to keep getting the message out. So thank you for coming in the evening and hearing me pontificate about my message. And we're going to hear a little bit, where's Laura? There she is. A little bit more music. Let me tell you about Laura. I went to a colleague's book signing, Dr. Janine Cannon. And Laura played the music at the book signing. And I was so enthralled. Oh, there's my daughter and son-in-law at the end, Bonnie and Gary. And Bonnie has a book that's going to be coming out, too. I know. So, we're going to hear a little more music from Laura because it's, to me, very romantic and very positive.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Barbara, will you... It sounds like we may have a question before Laura
plays.
Oh,
I'd love it. I'd love it. I'll tell you
question.
Anything.
Let me pass the mic so the listening audience can hear the question.
Thank you so much. I have two questions. Any of the ex-dates that you've had, have they ever seen themselves and recognized themselves in your columns? Secondly, what are the chances that you might perform in your own work?
Thank you so much. You know, I mix them up a lot, so I don't think they see each other, and that's one of the ironies. They don't know they're such jerks, some of them. There has been one, and I'm not saying that I don't like men. I love men. But it's just kind of fun because, you know, and when am I going to perform in my own? I'm going to L.A. on Monday, and I'm going to be auditioning my show with Rick Shaw. I will let you know. And I'm hoping it'll go well. I hope that I'll have the nerve. Oh, I will let you know, because I really want that one-woman show. Thank you. Thank you.
You're a beautiful lady.
Thank
you.
You
have great earrings.
Thanks. I take them out for the talks and the performances.
I love that sparkly stuff. I was wondering, when did you know that you had such great courage to do so much?
To stand up and make a fool out of myself. It really came from an old dream when I was a child. I really doing what I wanted to do, and I didn't know if I'd be good or not, but you're never good until you keep doing it. Anyway, so I think that courage is doing it anyway. That's what courage is. Thank you. Well, John was there. John hosted my first experience. We had over 200 people that night in the big room.
Was that scary? Was that scary?
I wasn't scared. I didn't want to get off the stage. We had a great time. Yes.
Did you go on Match? And if you did you put your real age?
Wait, I didn't. What? Hi, Judy. Hi.
Did you go on Match.com?
Yeah.
And did you put your real age?
Yes, I do. At this point, I cannot not put my real age because it would do in everything, devalue everything I'm saying. Do I get responses? Not really. The only time I get responses are when I ask for material. They all have big stories for their novels, you know.
Barbara, we'd like to remind our listening audience this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening to Barbara Rose Brooker.
Thank you.
You hear that? Yeah. All right. Our thanks to you, Barbara. And
thank you.
We want to thank our audience here today as well as our listening audience. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California commemorating its 109th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned with the lovely music of Laura Weinbach.